Just going to add that, you know, I think what we've been learning so far in this chapter is that it really is all about obedience. From the beginning, God said, go, and Abram stopped. Later, Abram moved, and God never said move. So it really comes down to obedience. And sin is a slippery slope. And it starts with one thing, and then it leads to another. And oftentimes, you have experienced this, I've experienced this, when we're in the wrong place, we find ourselves compromising and doing things that we normally know that we wouldn't be expected to do. So, and that's what happens. And so sin is a slippery slope, but the grace of God and the restoration is a wonderful thing. And that's what we see here. And God never left that place. Abram left. God never said move. God was waiting there the whole time. And he just allowed Abram to go and experience all the difficulty and the shame and the reproach that we talked about, and is just waiting for him to come back and to call upon the name of the Lord. So it's a wonderful thing to see that God, you know, God didn't stop him from going. God could have said, don't go down there. He didn't. He allowed him to go. And sometimes God allows us by the choices that we make to experience the consequences of the choices that we make. He allows that sometimes so that we can realize the mistake, learn from it, and others, we see others going through it, we learn from their mistakes as well. And certainly the point of all this, as was mentioned yesterday, I think, by Brother Tony, the purpose of all this is that we might learn from the mistakes of others and not do them ourselves. Sin is a slippery slope. Let's never forget that. It starts with one thing, and very often when we're in the wrong place, we're going to find ourselves doing the wrong thing and compromising. But then the wonderful thing to know is that when we go back to the place that we left, God is there, and he's welcoming you back with open arms.
Good job. I was considering how Pharaoh was affected by Abram's decision, and I wonder also how Lot was affected. Because Abram was, this was being lived out in front of Lot. And you see, as God allows us to recover, and God is a God of great grace, he's working on many levels with us to show us our hearts, to bring about recovery, and to have a repentance that needs not to be repented of again. And I think as young people, we have to be very careful that because God is a God of grace, that we don't think that we can just live kind of loosely because God is going to bring about a recovery. As Brother Chuck says, there are scars. There were scars that Abram picked up in Egypt that followed him the rest of his life. And in fact, it affected his offspring. The same sin that Abram was guilty of here, you see that in Isaac as well later on. But I wonder if we consider that as Abram made this mistake, Lot was watching. And the scripture doesn't tell us, it doesn't give us any indication of any dialogue between Abram and Lot, but he was an observer. And I wonder if some of the steps, the missteps that Lot took might have been in some way influenced because he saw what Abram did. Now, maybe he was watching the wrong thing because maybe he didn't see that God brought Abram to the point where there was recovery and some repentance. Shortly after this, you see a conflict between Lot's herdsmen and Abram's. But always consider that when I do something, the fallout isn't only me. I'm not just affecting me. It was his wife. It was his herdsmen, it was his nephew, Lot, and it was others. And others may not recover, even if the Lord in grace allows me to do so.
But it also teaches us another thing, and that is that our eyes shouldn't be on one another. Lot is going to be put to a very similar test as Abraham now in this next chapter, and you would think that if he had really been paying attention and if he was really under spiritual exercise, that there might have been something learnt through this journey down to Egypt and back to Bethel. But really, I believe the lesson in that is that our eyes as believers shouldn't be on one another. We're all human. Our eyes should be on the one that is perfect, the one that has set the perfect example, the righteous one, the holy one, the man of God, the man Christ Jesus. That's the one that would be before the eye of the believer, that we can look and see and get our example from and learn from. And just two words, really one word, that I want to just bring here that I see in the end of chapter 12 and now chapter 13. I see in chapter 12, independence on the part of Abraham, independence acting in the flesh. But now I see, as we've come back to Bethel, Abraham called on the name of the Lord. What's that? That's dependence, right? And now Abraham is back into that place where God is the Lord of his life and he is dependent upon him.
I think that that verse that you're pointing out, there Abraham called on the name of the Lord, is the very key indicator for us that there was not communion while he was down in Egypt, while these plans were being made. There was not communion with the Lord. And John, I wonder if you would accept this in reference. I understand exactly what you mean. I'm not looking at you to get a pattern for my life. I'm looking to the Lord. But you and I, and each one of us here, should always be very conscious. Your brother Ed and I were talking last evening. How did Patrick learn to be a father? He watched me for 21 years. I taught him how to be a father. I'm sure there were areas in it that were flawed. And Eileen learned to be a mother by watching. You see, we, and again, as kids, as peers, we're teaching one another every day. What are we teaching? What's the message that we're bringing? What about, again, the dress that we have? What are we teaching younger brothers and sisters when they see us? You see, it's a really important role. The one thing is, we look to the Lord. The other is, we are always conscious that others are watching and listening. And it's often been said, you've heard the old adage, you know, what you did spoke so loud, I couldn't hear what you said. Well, the Lord help us as we follow this. Tony mentioned a minute ago, and I'll close with this. It would be wonderful if this lesson could be applied to our lives today, that the Lord is waiting to bring us back, and there is no baggage that we will bring back with us. But I'll tell you, that's not what the Lord is teaching us here. And we know that times of departure and declension and the years that the locusts have eaten, when one is restored, the difficulties that came from years away from the Lord do not just evaporate. Believe me, they do not just go away. So the Lord, help us exercise our hearts. It's been a really good morning. And maybe if someone has a couple of verses of a hymn and someone would close in prayer, also give thanks for the food, if you would.
There is one comment here maybe before we close. You
could go ahead.
Yes, just to close, and I think just to add on to what our brother was saying, is that I think it's also, you know, good for us to see that how gracious the Lord is in forcing Abram to retrace his steps. So a lot of times when we make a wrong decision, you know, if God is saying, you know, 4 + 3 = 7, he doesn't just give us the answer. A lot of times he'll force us to go back to, you know, rework our steps, to follow, to retrace our steps, to show us where we made the wrong decision. And that's oftentimes how we learn. We see how, you know, how Abraham has forced to go, you know, back through the Negev, back to his original place, and that the Lord is often gracious in teaching us and forcing us to go back to that decision, to understand why we made the decisions that we did, what was the wrong course, and to teach us to make the right one next time.